Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Abby D. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 24th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 80 in the fourth paragraph, starting with after consulting with his wife and partner, reading through one paragraph, ending, this all happened years ago, and commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Chris W. for the 12 steps, Susan R. for the 12 traditions, Lynn F. reading the text, and Craig F. reading page 164 at the closing. Thank you to Penny C., who is also our backup reader. The reference number for Sunday, February 23rd, 2025, the special edition meeting is 22,190. And after the meeting, we have Hanayeta R., who's our newcomer greeter, and Jeannie B. as the second hour host. All right, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris W. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, Chris W. from Nashville, Tennessee. Here's the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Chris W., for reading the 12 steps. And I will now ask Susan R. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I thank you for allowing me to do service for this month. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan R., for reading the 12 traditions today. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 80 in the fourth paragraph. After consulting with his wife and partner, reading through one paragraph ending, "This all happened years ago," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. And I will now ask Lynn F. to begin reading. Thanks, Lynn.
Good morning. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania. After consulting with his wife and partner, he came to the conclusion that it was better to take those risks than to stand before his Creator guilty of such ruinous slander. He saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyhow. He attended church for the first time in many years. After the sermon, he quietly got up and made an explanation. His actions met widespread approval, and today he is one of the most trusted citizens of his town. This all happened years ago. And in considering this paragraph, I'm reminded on page 76, the beginning of step 8 and 9 at the bottom paragraph. It says, "Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any length for victory over alcohol." And then again at the top of 77, it says, "Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us." And when I'm making in this position of making amend, I can't shrink. And at the top of 80, it says, "If we've obtained permission, have consulted with others, asked God to help, and the drastic step indicated, we must not shrink." That brings me to my current experience in my amend process, and it's my most, my amend, my family and my husband. And while I don't have ruinous slander of others as my example, I do have the example of not being the woman God intended for me to be in all my relationships. And as I grow toward my ideal and I correct the right of my wrongs of the past, I am practicing this notion, placing the outcome in God's hands. Right there is my source of growth today and also my source of agnosticism. I don't want to believe that God has me, and I have to wake up each day and trudge with you all to know that God does have me, and that I can do the work of righting my wrongs today. And I need sponsorship, I need community, I need the directions in order to do this work. And I also know that I can't rest on yesterday's program to have any glimmer of hope of working with God today. I don't want to start drinking again, and I never want to face God with anything that I could have made right today. So that's what I have, and I'm grateful to do this work with you. I'm grateful to have the opportunity for service this month, and I'll pass.
All right. Thank you so much, Lynn F., for getting us started this morning. All right, I'll take a wine up, but although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Jason KP.
KDG, Jason KP. Who else would like to share today?
Lucy B., Florida.
Lucy B. Anyone else? It's a quiet meeting today. KDG from Boston, Jason KP. Lucy B. from Florida.
Craig F.
Craig F. And then someone L.
Cheryl L. from Florida.
Cheryl.
Ana Yeta from Texas.
Ana Yeta from Texas. All right, let's start with that. I have Katie G. from Boston, Jason KP, Lucy B., Craig F., Cheryl L., and Hannah Yucca from Texas. All right, Katie G., go ahead.
Hey, Abby. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., recovered in Boston. You know, many years ago on this line, a lot of people talked about how we're not in the results business, right? We're in the action business. And I love this idea, right, to place the outcome in God's hands. It reminds me of my other favorite line of many, the things I give to God are better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and triumphant world, no matter what your present circumstances. And I do think it's important that I go to any lengths for my amends. I love that caveat that says, you know, except when to do so when injure them or others. I have done sex harms that, you know, I don't go to that person if they're married. There are lots of, you know, caveats and whatnot in this amend process that are important to consider, especially if you're not at this step. I think that what I hear the most is honesty, right? Like, if I continue to stuff down the dishonesty of me cheating out on the Math Tax Association, I don't even know what it's called, sorry, then I'm going to eat. Like, ultimately, stuffing down any secrets, eating is going to be a step up from how I'm thinking, right? That's just the bottom line. And I have to ask myself, you know, I can say I'm recovered And I have to ask myself today, thanks be to God, how am I maintaining my spiritual condition so that I am not standing guilty in front of God? Because if I'm lying, I'm not going to get to God. And so, you know, there are a lot of things that as an addict, I still like to cover up, like that are not, I'm not going to be guilty of slanderous ruins today, but I still throw food away from the refrigerator. And when my husband asks, I want to lie. I still have a tendency to spend money and my husband asks and I want to lie. And those lies, again, I'm not saying that is what's going on here, but I think it's important for me to relate now. And the thing is, when I go back to my husband and I tell him I lied, I mean, I can't lie in recovery and think that I'm going to stay abstinent today. And so for me, again, this paragraph is talking about going to any lengths, living a recovered life. And finally, I'm not in the outcomes business. Like, whatever happens, it's going to happen. But I want to be holding God's hand. And the way to do that is taking these actions and going to any lengths so that I can get to the treasure, which is God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Katie G. from Boston. All right, next up we have Jason K.P., I believe, from Pennsylvania, followed by Lucy B. in Florida. Jason, go ahead.
Good morning, Abby. Thank you. Jason K.P., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic from outside of Philadelphia, and we're in this amends process. In the amends process, there's tremendous, tremendous power being willing to go to any lengths. And, you know, it's talking about, this book talks about selfishness, self-centeredness that we think is the root of our problems, and alcoholics are self-will, extreme examples of self-will run riot, yet we usually don't think so. So this paragraph and a couple chapters before are telling us to pump our brakes, to secure consent from people, to not take drastic action before that would affect other people before we're secure their consent. We're not hasty and foolish rushing out to make these amends to save ourselves. And, you know, that's a big part of my disease is being selfish and self-centered and inconsiderate. You know, so when I move into the amends process, consideration is extremely, extremely important. And that goes for those who would be implicated. That goes for the people who you're making amends to. One big thing you get when you reach out to people to make amends is you get a no thank you or a no or no response. And that's really, really important to be very, very considerate with those people. My ex-wife didn't want to meet in person. She said, I can do a phone call. Okay, thank you. I'd prefer to meet in person, but I do not, absolutely do not push that. And it says we're willing to go to any lengths. And this is important for me. I don't make up what it means to go to any lengths with my sponsees. What it means is if the book says to do it, we do it. If the book says to pray it, we pray it. If the book says to think about it and contemplate it, we do it. If it says to write it, we do it. It's not whatever I decide. It's not 90 meetings in 90 days or 180 meetings in 180 days. It's I don't make that stuff up. So we're being asked to go to any lengths. And I had an amends like this, too, when I had to go to a past romantic partner and just really wanted to clean it up because I really used that person. It was very, very inconsiderate. And, you know, it took my wife a little bit of time to come around to that and to see if I would do it in a certain way. So I had to be very, very cautious and considerate and talk to my wife about why I felt like I needed to make that amends. If I reach out to this past romantic relationship, is there a clear, strong boundary in place that this doesn't interfere with our current relationship? And can I really reassure her that this is the best course of action to do? Doing that, of course, with prayerfulness, slowing down, and so forth. And again, there's great, great power here to get close to God, to feel the power of God move into us when we clean up the wreckage of the past. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jason KP from Philadelphia. All right, next up we have Lucy B. from Florida, and then Craig S. Lucy B., go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for your service today. Lucy B. from Florida, compulsive overeater. I look back on page 79, second paragraph, where it says, there are some general principles we find guiding, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience. We ask or we pray that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we're willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. That makes me think, you know, here in this step, we're also practicing step three. You know, we're turning our life and our will over. The individual says he was consulting, you know, with his wife and his partner. Again, the importance of not doing an amends just by ourselves, in our own mind, figuring it all out by ourselves, especially when other people will be affected. You know, he consulted with the other people who would be affected, and the importance of that, and placing the outcome in God's hands, you know, and taking a risk, you know, demonstrating, you know, I feel like this is an incredible demonstration of trust of this gentleman placing his, you know, life and his will in God's hands. And in this situation, it worked out very well for him. You know, he became, everybody approved and he became an important citizen in the community. But had it not worked out well, had people shamed him and been angry at him for what he did, wouldn't have meant that what he did was wrong. It wouldn't have meant he shouldn't have made the amends. And, you know, that's a reminder for me. You know, I want to judge my actions by what other people think sometimes. And when making amends, it can't have anything to do with, as we've said before, the outcome. You know, it's all about me standing honest and true and sincere in front of my higher power. And so if I do make an amends and the outcome does not come out happily and positive like this did, it doesn't mean it wasn't the right amends to make. And this paragraph reminds me of that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lucy B. from Florida. All right, next up we have Craig F., followed by Cheryl L. Craig, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. My point has pretty well been taken. You know, the story as told could have come out, to say, and to this day, the man is homeless because nobody will even trust him with the job, you know. But the point of it is, it'd still be worth it, you know. The point of it is that no matter what the outcome is going to be, that I have to step out in faith and do the right thing in order to clean up the wreckage of my past, that I owe that. That if I don't do that, the consequences are eternal, rather than just the consequences of the day. And he had to be willing to do this without knowing the outcome. I don't know the outcome. Sometimes people they don't follow my script. They're unreasonable and they don't see things the way I do. And that's okay. You know, that's a part of life. I'm not in control. I'm not in control of the outcome. There's a difference here. There's a difference between belief and faith. You know, belief is I believe God's going to take care of me. And faith is, I know God's going to take care of me because I've had that experience over time. And in order to have faith, I have to act on a belief. And I have to act on the belief enough over and over again that I see that God is always taking care of me. Maybe not the way I want him to or think he should, but it's always to my best, to my best good. And so they're saying here, you have to believe God's going to take care of it, and then you step out in that belief, and that it will happen. It will be for your good, no matter what it is. I just can't predict, plan, or control the outcome, but the outcome is what leads to the greater faith, and that's the point of it. We are not in charge of outcomes. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Craig F. in Oklahoma. Next up, we have Cheryl L., followed by Hanayeta from Texas, and then I'll take another lineup after them. All right, Cheryl L., go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida this morning. Thank you all for your beautiful shares, and thank you for meeting us today. Just a few words that really stand out to me in this paragraph. Standing before my Creator, when I shared my fourth and fifth step, I shared it, and I was forgiven then because I had already admitted, the wrongs that I had done. I admitted it before my Creator. So I'm going forward, into making these amends, already being forgiven. And now I'm going to these people that I've harmed, and I'm trying to set things right with them. There is one person on my amends list that I have not been able to make amends to yet. She won't communicate with me. But I stand willing. I stand willing to do it if the opportunity arises. If somehow she will allow me to do that. But what I can do in the meantime is I can change into the person that my Creator would have me be. The second word that stands out to me in today's reading is slander. And if I'm in my defect of gossip, then I am slandering others. And that's not an attractive, place for me to be, and it's not where my Creator wants me to be today. So in the meantime, and while I'm progressing through these steps, I have to be mindful of what I'm doing today. How am I going into the world today? How am I being in the world today around my fellows, around my family, my coworkers, those people I come in contact with? I have to stand ready to do whatever my Creator would have me do. And what He would have me do today is to be kind and considerate and patient and accepting and tolerant, all those beautiful qualities that He has endowed me with that somehow got obscured in the past. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Cheryl Al from Florida. Next up, we have Hanayeta from Texas. Go ahead, Hanayeta.
Thank you, Abby. This is Hanayeta R. from Texas, Plano, Texas, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in remission today. Thank you, God. A really good paragraph in step 9, that we better take those risks than to stand before my Creator guilty. And it's just so much a part of who I am. In my religion, we have to do something called tshuva, which is making amends in a sense. But there's some parts to that we have to give to others. We have to also say in the fact of that we ask for forgiveness, but we're not going to do it again. It's not enough just to say, I'm here, I'm telling you that these are the things that I've done wrong, and I have to ask for forgiveness from these people or institutions. And, but I also have to say I'm not going to do it again. That's so important to me. And I said the other day that I was honored enough to be able to see a person, this was early in the 1980s, that knew Bill Wilson, and Bill Wilson had told him that when it says that we would not to injure them or others, it others is we are part of the others. We shouldn't injure ourselves enough that somebody else can get hurt. For example, if I was a single mom, or if you're a single dad and you have young children, and by making amends to somebody, it would put you in jail. It could put you in jail, and then the kids would have to go into the system. You may want to double think that and maybe find a different way of paying those people back. And I've made lots of financial amends. I did commit fraud, insurance fraud, and I had to go to those places. I could have been put in jail for that. But I was willing to do that because I was not the sole support of my family. If I'd go to jail, I'd have gone to jail. My kids would have been taken care of. But anyway, I have to make these amends. No matter how hard they are, I have to make these amends. And some way, somehow, figure out a way of being able to do that. And I'll never forget, and I was a cheat, liar, a thief. I was what's called a gonif. I was a thief. And but then somebody said, oh, you can give the charity, you can give the treasurer's job to Hanegeta because she is trusting, like we can trust her with the money. I almost fell out of my chair. And I thought, they trust me? Wow. And I thought, my life has turned around. This program is such a miracle. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. If you're new, if you're struggling, don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle. Everyone has a miracle in their life, and it's waiting for you. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you, Abby, for your service. I love you guys. That's it. Yes.
Thank you so much, Hanegeta R. from Texas. All right, we will take another lineup. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to share today?
Larry K.
Larry K. Who was the other one?
Nicole S.
Nicole S. Tony B.
Nancy C.
Nancy C. All right, let's go with that. Larry K, Nicole S, Tony B, and Nancy C. All right, Larry K, go ahead.
Good morning, Abby. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I live in Chicago. I think I could write a really good guideline of all the things not to do in step 9, if you're interested in that. Let me share that with you, because, boy, I made every mistake you can imagine. So here it goes. First off, make sure that you ambush people. Don't make an appointment. Just, make it about yourself and just kind of, maybe some sort of, a get together or something, and then just hammer them, without ever, I did that. Also, what's really good? Go to your first meeting and you're still in step 1. Maybe you're still in the food, and just jump to step 9. Just go see how that works for you. That didn't work very well for me. I tried to go. I thought, well, let me get right to the chase here. Let me go start, apologizing to people like I had done a zillion times before. It didn't go very well. I tried that with my mom. And then when you do ambush people, then, minimize the impact of what you did. Don't be clear. Be very vague about what you did wrong. Don't really acknowledge the hurt that you caused. I did that really well. So if you're interested in doing that, that could certainly make it more difficult to connect with your higher power. And the other things that I did is, I really, you know, what you want to try to do is just really try to control the outcome. You know, don't respect the other person's feelings and their right not to accept your apology immediately. Make it about you. Make it all about you. That was my favorite topic, was my committee, me, myself, and I, and I always made it about me. I wanted to, it was more important for me to unburden myself and be inconsiderate towards them so I could, you know, create more harm in the process here. But I, this was all about me, wasn't it? And then, for goodness sakes, expect, go in there with a script, expect reconciliation and forgiveness and reestablishment of some sort of a relationship where you want it, you know, where you want it. You know, so let's, you know, selfishness, self-centeredness, that's the very root of our trouble. So approach this with the very same selfishness that you always have. I did that really well. And then, you know, bring up past issues, make it convoluted. For goodness sakes, don't give them the opportunity to, by asking them if there's anything you left out or anything maybe that you forgot, anything rolling around in their mind that, that maybe you missed. Don't give them that opportunity. Again, keep it all about you and see where that gets you. It didn't get me very far. No, it did. You know what? It, you know where it took me? It did take me places. It took me right back to the convenience store. Thanks, Abby. It took me right back to the convenience store, right back to the Kit Kat bars and the pizza and all the stuff. So obviously being very facetious here, and but a lot of mistakes, but we need a sponsor to help us, someone, a Sherpa perhaps, that's taken this pathway that can help us. With that, I pass. Thanks, Amy. Abby.
Thank you so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Next up, we have Nicole S., followed by Tony B. All right, Nicole S., go ahead.
Hi, this is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado. Thank you, Abby, for your service. And this paragraph reminds me, too, of just honesty that, you know, I have an audience of one, and that's my creator, and I need to live my life and everything so that I'm not guilty before my creator. You know, that's with my food, cash register honesty, you know, taking responsibility for my actions. Sometimes that means saying something that needs to be said instead of being too afraid not to say it, and sometimes it's, you know, not saying what shouldn't be said. And, you know, God, he's going to show me where I need to be honest. And if I'm spending time, my morning meditation time, and really bringing before God, doing my my 10th and 11th steps during the day, sending my 11th, you know, step review at night, I'm going to find areas of like, wow, I was dishonest. And it may not be, you know, to this extent that this person, you know, actually, you know, this complete ruinous slander, but even in just all those little areas, I have to be just absolutely honest before my creator. And if I'm not, you know, I'm just going to tell God that, yeah, I keep out. God can't exist in me if I'm being dishonest. And, you know, I'm going to start eating again. And that's something I don't ever want to do. And I, you know, I don't have to, if God is showing me, you know, an action I need to take, I'm not going at it alone. I don't have to rely on my, you know, my self-will, my own unsteady willpower, you know. He's gonna give me the strength to do so. And the outcome's going to be in his hands. I don't have to worry about it. Whatever that outcome is going to be, I just have to do what he's asking me to do. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Nicole S. from Colorado. Next up, we have Tony B., followed by Nancy C. from Michigan. Tony B., go ahead. Tony B., press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, Abby. Sorry about that. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. Great to be on the line this morning. Great to hear all the shares. And what strikes me here is trust. absolute trust in God. So he saw he had to place the outcome in God's hands. And it seems without entire trust, you know, that it's not really trust. And no matter what. So it's scary for him, right? This is a scary thing to do. And why is it scary? Because it's his self that is at risk, and his notion of what matters to him and his self, his reputation and his financial security and how he looks to people and what people think of him. And he has to take this step of really believing that whatever happens is going to be okay, you know. He doesn't know if he's going to be received well or not. And it's a lot of that, as I think, as we go through life, sort of those moments of where we need to really believe that doing the right thing is always going to be, you know, is always going to be, we're always going to be cared for by God when we do the right thing. And that we can't necessarily think that care is going to be comfortable. It might sometimes not be comfortable, but it's still the belief that it's God's will, knowing that it's, that we are being cared for. So, you know, so even having really heavy financial losses or destitution or sickness or death, you know, all knowing that there's this fundamental trust, and that if that's the way it's going, then that's God's way. But just always wanting to do the right thing, and not being so concerned about what's it gonna do to me. I mean, I just think of people, I don't know, like Terry Waite in prison and chained to a radiator for, you know, for years, and how he kept his spirits up, and how it is possible to keep our spirits up, even, you know, and that God is there. I don't know why I thought of that example, but I think that's kind of what I'm trying to say. Or people in the concentration camps who recognized that it wasn't about what they wanted, you know, it just had to be what was, actually accepting what was. I think it's Viktor Frankl who writes about that. So that's what comes to my mind this morning, this fundamental trust in God. And thank you for letting me share, and I love you all very much. Bye.
Thank you so much, Tony B. from Scotland. Next up, we have Nancy C. in Michigan.
Hey, Abby. Good morning. Good morning, visionaries. Nancy C. gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I had one of the moments with one of the earlier shares, so I haven't thought it through myself, but I'm just sharing it with the group. And that's that if I truly went through the steps and did my fifth step, admitting to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs, God has forgiven me. And he forgives and forgets. It's done. It's over. So correcting the harms of my past and trying to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and my fellows, making these amends are critical, because I do need to right the wrongs. But the forgiveness, the outcome, is really truly in God's hands, just like it says in the book. And as long as I know that my Creator has forgiven me, anything outside of somebody else not is really my ego. It's really my street credibility that I want everyone to be okay with me, like when I was drinking. Just let's get over and move on. Sometimes that doesn't happen, and I have to accept and trust what God is telling me to do. But I do stand before one person, and that is God. And so as long as I'm right with God, everything else is a gift or something I need to work on to keep my character defects in check. I keep asking for that to be righted. So I don't know. I'm looking at my pride and my ego and my need to have that street credibility today as what makes it hard for me to make some of these amends. And I've got to think about that some more and take it to prayer myself. But I just was compelled to share that today. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Abby.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. from Michigan. All right, I can take another lineup. I first just want, actually we have time for about three more, but I just want to let you know that there is a convention coming up, so I want to give you the information on that. It is on the Vision for You website, so if you go to avisionforyou.info, there will be a countdown, and it's in 256 days. It's called the Power of the Big Book Weekend. It's Friday, November 7th through Sunday, November 9th, and it's in Newark, New Jersey. So all the information is there. Would love to have you join us for that in-person weekend. All right, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So I can take about three more names. Who would like to share?
Rick J., North Carolina.
Rick J.
Alice W.
What are we up to,
please?
Alice W., and then who was the last one?
What page are we up to, please?
I'm sorry, I did not get your name.
What page, please?
Oh, what page? I'm sorry, we're on page 80 in the fourth paragraph. After consulting with his partner, and we read through that one paragraph ending, this all happened years ago. All right, so let's start with Rick J., and then we'll go to Alice W. Rick J. from North Carolina, go right ahead.
Good morning, Abby, and thanks for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name's Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And, you know, I did not have a situation similar to this where I had ruined someone else's reputation. But, you know, the big thing that was striking me was, you know, he saw he had to place the outcome in God's hands or he would soon start drinking again and all would be lost anyhow. I know that that which blocks me will disconnect me from my higher power. You know, and I had a situation back in 2023. Back in the summer, I was going through chemo and I had started, you know, eating, you know, salty things to sort of satisfy these cravings that I kept getting. And, you know, the thing is, I didn't talk to my sponsor about any of this and it just became sort of like, I kept justifying it. Like, well, I've got cancer, so there, you know, and I'm just going to take care of myself. And so I found myself, you know, like eating, you know, things that were not on my food plan. And, you know, I never got into the sugar and I wasn't like binge eating and I wasn't doing a deep dive into the food. But, you know, there came a time when after I had you know, started eating some pretzels, this salt craving. And then the next thing I know, the physical allergy, you know, it kicked in and I was, you know, I was just going through bags of chips and mixed nuts, you know, and in my mind I kept saying, you know, wow, my salt craving, you know, is really, really strong right now. And, you know, of course that was my disease. And then I realized a moment of clarity, holy crap, you know, I cannot truly call myself abstinent. And, this was July, the very end of July, and I actually scheduled to be the moderator for the month of August in 2023 on Vision. And I called my sponsor and I talked to fellows and, you know, and I had to text Leah and tell her I couldn't be a moderator, which of course requires a year. And, you know, and my ego did not want me to do that. I wanted people to see me, you know, as, you know, in my, the filter of my ego, you know, Rick J, who doesn't relapse or doesn't have any issues, you know, and I'm recovered. And here I am sponsoring, you know, but I knew that my dishonesty would get me back into the food, and I would go back into that hole. So I'm just so grateful that with my honesty, you know, I am free. I am abstinent, living in freedom, and you know, and nobody kicked me out of OA. So I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick J from North Carolina. And next up, we have Alice W.
Oh, did you say Alice? Sorry, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, hi, Alice W. From the UK, recovering. I just want to echo what's just been said, and I just want to hopefully be helpful to people, actually, by saying don't do what I do. You know, I get recovered, and I'm sorry if I'm not directly on this passage, but it is related in the sense that I cannot afford resentment, and I have to do the amends properly and thoroughly, and I have to be honest and pure in this because it's a spiritual solution. So anytime I'm not kind of pure and or authentic and in terms of just honest, and, you know, take my will back and get angry with everyone and let that stir up and enjoy the anger and build up more resentments and just not be on top of them and not do the amends properly that I'm meant to be doing. My disease is progressive, and it's progressive while I'm recovering, and I can get arrogant and say, well, I've recovered. And I just want to say my pride is really hurting because I was really reluctant to share and I was waiting and it feels like God wants me to share. So I'm sharing. This disease is horrible. And I unfortunately went back and to the point it's never been, it's worse than it's ever been, not in terms of the things I picked up, but in terms of the volume. And I actually choked in my sleep on my stomach acid. And I just need to share that. That's where the disease has me. But I have a disease. It's not a moral issue. And I will do anything, go to any lengths, and I need your help. And I need to be honest with you and not just be like, oh, now I've got it, and be cheerful. That false cheeriness. It's no, this is a really horrible, horrible disease. And I'm just very grateful for all of you. I'm day one. I'm struggling. But I need to be honest and just jump off. And just, you know, all my pride about being judged. Well, do you know what? If people judge me, I've still got to just show up. And then I can be useful to others, because I can't be useful to others when I'm in my own will and not doing amends properly and festering on resentments and all these luxuries of the normal people. So I'm struggling, but I'm just need to be humble and pure in my heart. And so here I am, everyone. It's lovely be here. Thank you. I'll leave it there. Don't do what I did.
Thank you so much, Alice W. in the UK. Glad you're here with us. We have time for one more share if someone wants to take 1 minute. All right. Anybody want to take 30 seconds?
I can take it. I can take it. This is Cheryl A.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Sure. Hi, this is Cheryl A, recovered compulsive overeater in Brooklyn, Massachusetts. And what do I want to say? I guess what I can say in just a few seconds is that when we place the outcome in God's hands, whether it's about making an amend or standing before my Creator, With any issue there is, it's such an important reminder to leave the outcome in God's hands. It's terrifying. It's jumping off a diving board in so many ways, and just knowing and hoping that I will just go into the water and come right back up again. And I think it's kind of like that when there is a need to do this, particularly with an amends. And that has to do with amends in deep changes that I am making in my behavior, in the way that I live my life, because that's the most important amends that I make today as it relates to my family. I guess I'll finally end with just a blessing that everyone have a wonderful day and be willing to jump into that diving board with smiles on our faces. Jump off the diving board with smiles on our faces. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A. from Massachusetts. All right. So that is all the time that we have today. So thank you so much to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Monday, February 24th, 2025, for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22191. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Craig F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Reading until keep you until then.
Sure. This is still Craig F. in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pass.
All right, after the recording stops, wait for that.